and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can be in your house this morning, and thankful for each one that's here. You've heard our requests, Lord, and names mentioned, lifted up to you, Lord, for prayer today. Lord, we're praying for a touch from you for them. Lord, heal them, Lord, help them, Lord, and just all of us, Lord. And if we don't have a physical need, we certainly have a spiritual need. Lord, we're praying that you speak to our hearts today through everything that may be going on around us. Lord, you're still on the throne. Lord, you're still in the saving business. We're thankful for that. You're still helping your people, Lord, just causing us to be like you and helping us to be like you. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, and speak to hearts this morning. You know every need. Maybe somebody here lost today. Maybe somebody watching on Facebook or wherever they may be. Lord, we pray for their salvation this morning, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is The Voice of Satan. The Voice of Satan. The key verse is in verse 1. And Satan said, yea, hath God said. Hath God said. You know, we live in a world and we should be conscious of, especially as Christian people, those that are saved, that literally, maybe even if you're not saved, you probably realize this, that literally all hell has broke loose. That's literally what we're seeing in the world today. Technically, hell hasn't broke loose, but hell is let loose. Because hell can't have any power or doesn't have any power unless God allows it. God's got to allow it. Good to see you, Stanley. I forgot to mention you, brother. Recovered back from COVID. Amen. Satan couldn't touch Job unless God allowed him to do it. Satan desired to sift the disciples as wheat, but God would have to allow it. And sometimes God does allow. Sometimes God does allow Satan to do certain things and to sift us as wheat. And we know in Job's case, he touched his health, his wealth, and his family. All was touched by Satan as well. And, you know, last week I spoke about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. We talked about that last week. And we should be conscious of that working in the world today as well. And I believe that we are. But then we see here in very beginning, all the way back, here we are in Genesis. God's made man and woman, just two people. And we hear the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan. You know, I looked at this in the Bible. You know, the voice of Satan is only directly quoted what he said, direct quote. It's only found in the Bible three times, three places. What he's done is all over the Bible. I mean, the things he does and how he works. But what he actually said is only found three times. Right here in Genesis chapter 3, when he was conversing with Eve in the Garden of Eden. In his conversation with God, the second place is in his conversation with God in connection with Job, when he stood before the Lord. And the third time is when he confronted Jesus in the wilderness, when he tried to get Jesus to submit to him. Those are the three places in the Bible. And you know, words always reveal things. And the words of Satan revealed his wiles. I talked about that word last week. Remember, wiles. Wiles of the devil mean his method. His method, his plan, how he wants to work, his purpose right there. And when you look at all three of those places that we know that he actually spoke, we have his word, his spoken word recorded in the Bible, the three things that he did was he slandered God to man, he slandered man to God, and he wanted submission from Jesus himself. He wanted submission. Those are the three things that he did. Now today I'm just going to look at the one the one thing, his first words that he spoke, and how man fell, and how sin came into the world, and how everything that's involved with sin came into the world. That's what we're going to look at today. The very first thing that Satan did, and he asked a question when he said, hath God said, really what he questions along the way, we understand, and I've preached on this before, and what we understand was he was creating doubt in the mind of Eve as to what God said. He just created some doubt, because actually when she spoke back and said, no, this is what God said, she actually misspoke and added something to what God said when she said that she couldn't touch the tree that was in the midst. He never did say that, and I don't know what the significance of it is, but I will say this. I'm going to tell you what, if something out there is something God don't want you to be around, if God don't want you to touch it, if God don't want you to be involved with it, the best thing is that, don't. If he don't want you to commit any certain sin, don't touch it. Don't get near it. I mean, that'd be a good thing to do. Why handle something that is sinful? Why handle something? Why get around something that's going to be or could cause you to commit sin? Why do it? So if I had been in the garden in the midst of that, I don't know that I would have even got near that tree. Why go up there and stare at it and look at the fruit and look all around it and even maybe touch it? Why do that if you know God doesn't want you to eat it? Why tempt yourself? But anyway, this is how he operated. And this is how he worked, and he caused this doubt. But when you boil it down far enough, what we see is that he's putting doubt in. What's he putting doubt? He's putting doubt in Eve's mind about his own word. But if you boil it down and keep looking at it, he's putting doubt in Eve's mind about the goodness of God. That's where the doubt is. You ever talk to somebody out in the world? You go out there and they're lost as they can be, and you start talking to them about the Lord. Well, if God is love and God is good, how come babies die? How come there's a place called hell? I shared with you about that guy. I got a sunburn talking to this guy in Colorado out in the parking lot at Walmart, and he believed in God, he said, and all that, but he just couldn't believe that somebody would be condemned to hell forever and ever and ever. He said for a length of time, but see, he struggled with eternity on that. And so really there was a question as to the goodness of God. That's what his problem was. When somebody, how come babies die? It's questioning the goodness of God. So when you boil it down far enough, what he was really putting doubt in her mind about, and I'll show you in a minute, was he was putting doubt in her mind about the goodness of God. And, that God is withholding something good. Isn't that when you think about it right now, we know that there's, and I'll talk about this later, but we know in life that we know right and wrong, right? And if we sin, if we just boil it down and we sin and we do something that we shouldn't do, go somewhere we shouldn't go, why do we do that? Because we think it's going to be good. If we didn't think it was going to be good, I don't have, you don't have to keep me from going to the dentist. I have to struggle to go to it because I know it ain't going to be nothing good there, right? And so it's I don't have this temptation for that. If it's something good, we're tempted for that. So we think when we sin, boy, this is going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's going to be beneficial. It's just going to be, we think that. And so that's the struggle that we have already. So Satan puts this in her mind that God is withholding something good from you. God's withholding this one good thing. And so what he did was Satan, he put what God said into the negative. He said in verse 1, the way he worded it, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat. Now that's not really how God said it. He did, but look how he said it and if you look just back up in chapter 2, and then you look at verse 16, and the Lord God commanded a man saying, now look how this sounds a lot better. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's how God said it. Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree, in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat of it. From the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So when you look at it, how Satan said, God didn't say thou shalt not surely eat. He was just one thing, the negative command. The way God said it was, look, I'm going to give you all of this. I got this one little thing. I want you to stay away from it. I'm going to give you all this. God's focusing on everything he's given. Satan's focusing on that one thing. It's like a kid, the story where you got little Johnny and you're going out and he's getting old enough to stay by himself. Johnny, you can go through the whole house, but just one room right here, you can't go in there. As soon as you leave, what do you think Johnny's doing? He ain't running around enjoying the rest of the house. He's peeking under the door. He's trying to get the lock done. You got to see what's in there. That's just the way our nature is. That's it. And see, Satan knows it, and he played on that. So Satan didn't emphasize what God had said they could freely do, goodness. He brought the attention to the boundaries or the restriction that God placed and implied that God is being mean and God's not good because he won't let you eat of that one thing that he told you not to eat of. See how there's the psychology. I mean, you got to be a psychiatrist to figure out how he's going to work, really. You got to have some psychology there. He's not just going to come up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to lie to you and God's bad and God's, you know, he's not going to do that. You got to have psychology. And so he brought this attention to the boundary and this restriction of the freedom. Now, I was watching on the news the other day, and you remember back in the summer, they had all them riots and everything going on in Seattle and Portland, and I don't know why they just didn't go down there and, you know, take care of it, but they didn't, and it's still going on. And so the other day I looked, and everybody thought, oh, you know, it's because of President Trump. Well, now Biden's in office, and guess what? They're still doing it. It didn't have nothing to do with President Trump. And there was a guy on TV, it was 5 months ago, he said it won't matter. It doesn't matter what we do, what we give them, they're not going to stop, because that's not what it's about. And really, it's total anarchy. That's what it is. It's chaos. It's anarchy. They're busting up everything all over the place. Now, they got Trump marked out. They got Biden's name up there. He getting the same treatment from them, that group, that Trump guy. Same thing. See, so they're not particular, you know, not prejudiced. But I noticed on TV, I was watching, guess what? They got satanic symbols painted on everything. They're painting pentagrams on the buildings. Right there on the news. Not on the mainstream news because they didn't cover any of it. Pentagrams on the buildings and pentagrams on the windows, even before they bust them out. Satanic stuff. And that's not coincidental. It's not coincidental. And so, it's, you know, we see this, it's really anarchy and destruction. Well, really, that's, what is anarchy? That's when somebody doesn't want anybody controlling anything that they do. They want to be totally unrestricted in everything that they do. Isn't that what we're seeing in the world today? Isn't that the striving in the world today? They're not going to be satisfied. They want to rebel against all authority. They want to rebel against all limits, all boundaries, all restrictions. Really what the law, all law, which law is a restriction. I read this on the psychology of things. The only true man, the only man that is truly free in the department of the will is an insane man. He's an insane man. He doesn't have any, there's nothing, you know, because sometimes even like our pride or our dignity will keep us from doing certain things. At least me. I don't know. There's some people out there that doesn't, but I'm just saying, you know, there's our pride and our dignity. And so the only really free man, as far as the will is concerned, is a madman or somebody that's insane. And I was talking Wednesday night. I was reading a book, man. It's a really deep book, and it's hard. I have to read it like three times you can't daydream while you're reading it. You know, and it was talking about the will. Had to do with the will and the limitations of our will, how our will is limited. Our will basically is limited in a very basic sense by knowledge, what we know. I mean, we can't really function outside of our will with knowledge because knowledge is going to limit us to a certain point. The more you know, the more stuff you could probably get into, right? So we know about that. And so what happened when Satan tempted Eve was he said, you know, see, that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That's the one that she couldn't eat. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when he said, listen, if you eat of it, you're going to become like gods. You're going to be like God and you're going to know. You're going to know some more. Oh, well, that'll expound my boundary, see. That'll take my limit right out there. So he knew that. So he tempted her with that. So our own knowledge limits us somewhat to what we can do or think. And then there's the law. And, you know, and God put the law in place to protect us, right? We got the law. You know, when I was a little kid, how many of you wanted to do something boneheaded and mom and dad wouldn't let you do it? Oh, man, you just pouted. You just aggravated about it. I'm not going to get it. I saw a thing on Facebook. I think I shared it. It was so funny. It was a real steep hill, a real steep paved road going down, and there was water down at the bottom in a pier or something. And there's a little boy on a skateboard getting ready. He got it 1 foot on it. He's getting ready to get on it. And it said, this is why boys need fathers, you know. I mean, you can already see what's going to happen, you know. He ain't making it 20 yards down this hill, right? And we wanted to do something, and our parents wouldn't let us. You remember that? And like, so, you know, you younger kids, sometimes your mom and dad say, oh, you don't want it. And you think it's going to be fun. But what it is, see, because of your parents' experience, they went on the skateboard down the hill. They know. So what happens because of your parents' experience, see, they don't want you to do it. They'll say, no, you can't do it. And you're having a, well, see, God put the law in place for the same thing because we're not smart enough to know what will hurt us, really. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And so we have the law, and that's got boundaries with it as well. And then I talked about this Wednesday night, the unfallen man. And before Satan, and I don't really understand, I really don't know how Adam and Eve fell because I brought this up because the guy didn't talk about it. And this guy's a scholarly guy, he's dead now, but he said this, unfallen man, the limit or the restriction on their will was their love for God. God is love. Man is made in the image of God. Man loves God because God loves man. They knew all that. Sin hadn't entered in now, remember? So they were operating under love and light, light being knowledge or truth. Okay, so there they are. They're in the garden, and God said, listen, don't eat of it. Guess what? They didn't do it. You know why? Because they love God. They knew God loved them. They knew it. But somehow, now, this is where it gets fuzzy for me, and I don't know that I can't explain it. I mean, I could give you a reason, but it might not be the right. But somehow, Satan started dealing with that. He said what he had to make her doubt about God's goodness. He had to get that down there. Now, that just didn't catch God off guard. I mean, he had it in the whole plan of everything. He had that. But the love for God. And so Satan went after the attack. He attacked at least their thinking. Didn't affect how much God loved them. But he attacked their thinking on how God loved them. Satan still messed with your mind. That's where he gets. And if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, you're saved, he can't get in there, but he can still mess with your mind. If he can't, how come all these people that's claiming they're saved is falling off into sin like it's going out of style and falling away from God? So he's got to be messing with your mind. So what happens is when what God's really doing or wants to do or and will do in the rebirth, when we're regenerated, when we're born again, is what God is, what God's doing is to get our wills controlled by the knowledge of his love, not by the law. Because if you try to obey the law, you fail every time, and that's what the law pointed out. You can't do it. Even as a saved person. You got to love God. You got to love God or you can't obey God. You can't do it because the limits were there, and they broke every single one of them. Even God's people. Okay. You with me here? I can't see the look on your face that good with the mask. So I don't know if it's the look or not, you know, because the mouth is, I just see the eyes, so I'm not sure. So you with me? You got me on that. I mean, there's some thinking stuff here, right? You can think about it a lot in the shower. Now, we have a love for God when it comes by what? Knowledge of God. You got to know what you love, right? And then what happens is that love becomes the boundary. And I brought this up because the guy brought it up and I never thought about this. Does God have a limitation on his will? Yeah. He can't operate outside because he is love and he is light. He can't do anything that is outside of that love and light. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. That's a boundary. He can't even do it. In other words, and really you boil it down, God can't even sin. Well, what's the restriction? What's the authority? What's keeping God from going past that? Love. Because he's love. I mean, he's holy. It's holiness, but he's love and light. That's it. So even God, he pointed out, I said, man, that is deep stuff right there. It's good stuff. I ain't got to the next chapter because I'm still looking in the first chapter. I can't, you know, you got to gather it up. So God can't do anything. He can't will anything outside that love and that light, that perfect love and that perfect light. He can't do it. So then we look at man's rebellion, how man's rebellion falls into place. And man's rebellion in sin is a rebellion, really, against the restrictions of the will. Restrictions of the will of God, if you want to look at it like that, or even restrictions of the will. And like I said before, only a madman, only an insane man is truly free. Remember, You remember in the Bible, the maniac of Gadara? Remember the man that was in the Gadarenes and he had all kind of demons? Legion, the Bible said. He was full of demons, right? Satanic control. It said he was running around naked. Ain't it funny how the closer you get to God, the more clothes you put on? He was running around naked and he was cutting himself. And he was running around in the tombs, hanging out in the cemetery. And then it said that, of course, Jesus, he cast the demons, he sent them into a herd of swine, they ran up. And then it said the man was sitting fully clothed at the feet of Jesus. In his right mind, it said. In his right mind. When he was insane, they couldn't even bind him with fetters, it said, chains. They couldn't bind him. He was controlled. He was breaking. He broke the restriction. He ran around, no clothes on. He was out of his mind, foaming at the mouth. Nobody could do anything with him. And once Jesus cast the demons out and Jesus got control of him, he was clothed. He was within the restrictions of society. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Man, so what a contrast. That's the picture that we see right there. And so, there's those limits, the limits that God has. We look at what's going on in the world today, the kind of things that are against God that we know against that they're against God. Look at abortion, for instance, right there. You know what the mantra of the pro-choice crowd is? Nobody's telling me what to do with my body. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's a restriction, see? And I'm not going to operate with nobody telling me what to do with my body. And I would agree with them except for one thing. There's another body that's involved in that. There's another body there. It's not just the one body. That would be my answer to that statement right there. So, we look, and of course, sexual immorality is rampant every which way. And one of the things is, it's because we don't want, there's when it comes to like sex, no restrictions on that. We're not going to have the restrictions of having to be married first before sex. We won't want that restriction. Back in the 60s and 70s, those are a lot of us old enough to remember that. There was a lot of, bra burnings because they didn't want restrictions. all kind of things went on like that. If you go to nudist colonies, man, they got nudist colonies all over Florida. Why are people running around in the nude because they don't want the restrictions of clothing? It goes all over the place like that. Anyway, that's another story, man. I tell you, you got to be pretty, you got to be out of your mind. Let's put it that way. And then now we don't even want restrictions of gender, homosexuality. We don't want our lust restricted by societal rules, and which is really God's. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Man and woman, a man and a woman. And so they don't want that restriction. They don't want their lust restricted. And they don't want... Even you take thieves. They don't want any restrictions on what they can buy. They want to have enough money to buy whatever they want. And really motivates a lot of people with making money anyway. But you don't want the restrictions of poverty. You don't even want the restrictions of an 8-hour day job, so let's just go steal what we want. Or hey, maybe even at the foot or root of socialism. Is the thought that we don't want the restrictions of having to work, we just get everything free, right? That's it, because, a job, 8 hours a day, you're kind of bound to that, right? And then guess what? The boss is going to have rules and regs when you get down there to the job. And there's people that can't hold a job down because of that. They don't want nobody telling them what to do. It's all in rebellion against God. That's how it started. So Satan, we look around today, and Satan is having a field day because he's getting people to believe the lie that he tells. The lies, plural, that he tells. Now, so the first thing was, I have to read my own points. Oh, he questioned God's goodness. The second thing is he denied God's severity. He denied God's severity. Look in verse 4. It says in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die," which Eve said she would. But he said, "Ye shall not surely die. Now, Satan told a flat-out lie again. God said later on that the wages of sin is death. And Satan did lie and is still trying to deny the fact of death. You know that you're not, you know, people just don't want to believe it. We got cemeteries all over the place and funerals every time you turn around every day. And yet people live in their lives like they're never going to die. That's how he's got them. That's how he's got them living. And you know, here's the thing about it. Satan's not making a mistake. He knows he's lying. That's what I mean by not making a mistake. He knows he's lying. He's not telling somebody something he truly believes and he's made a mistake in that point right there. He knows he's flat out lying. He knows that the God is severe in his judgment because he knows what lies ahead and waits for him right on down the road. And as a matter of fact, he got thrown out of heaven already, pretty severe for permanently. He knows it. He knows how severe God is. And so what Satan's doing, listen to this point right here, I had to write it all out. Satan strove to hide the deeper truth that death is not the separation of the soul from the body. Ultimately, this is what he was hiding, but that the separation of the soul from God. Satan didn't let him see that. Satan said, "You shall not surely die," which he was lying about the truth of the fact that you wouldn't die physically. He didn't talk about the fact that you're going to die instantly spiritually. This is what's going to happen, a spiritual death, separation of the soul from God. And the day that man operated outside the will of God, he died spiritually and he lost fellowship with God. Lost fellowship with God. That's what happened. And then we find, man, what happened right after that? God came looking after Eve ate and she gave to Adam and he ate. And then he said God would come and commune with them, talk with them in the cool of the evening. Right after the text I read there, it said that he came and they were hiding. Never happened before. Suddenly they were afraid of God. They were afraid of God. And what were they afraid of? What were they afraid of? I'll tell you what, this is what happens. And you look in the world today, there's people, man, they don't want to see a preacher coming with the Bible. They don't want to, man, they go on the radio. Well, in the old days when you had a radio dial in your car, you know, you'd turn the thing and you know, you'd music, and then you'd hear some guy, and you're going to hell. Boy, they'd skip over that like it's going out of style. And even on TV now, boy, it's amazing how fast you can run that remote. And it gets stuck on everything else. You're breezing along there. It gets stuck on them channels you don't want to watch, even though you can't get them. And then the one, you know, you get preaching on there, man, and, you breeze right on through that. You don't want to stop. What is man afraid of? You try to talk to somebody about God. They get all uptight, man. You can talk to them about everything under the sun, football, hunting, you name it. They don't have a problem, but you want to talk to them about God? Ooh. What are they afraid of? I'll tell you what they're afraid of. They don't know. Satan has attacked the thinking, and what he attacked was, he attacked the thinking, or how they thought about God, how Adam and Eve thought about God, and he has attacked this world to the same point, on how the world thinks about God. And what happens, they were afraid, Adam and Eve were afraid, they didn't know nothing about hell. They didn't have any verses on it. They knew nothing about that. They were hiding out over in the bushes and said they were naked, and they tried to cover herself up later on. They were afraid, but what happened was they were afraid because their thinking had become flawed, because they started thinking wrongly about God. And a lot of the world thinks wrongly about God. And then if you think wrongly about God, this is another thing, this is a side lesson, but you know what happens then is even if you sort of believe in God, but you don't go by the Word of God, you make a God of your own imagination up. And so now you got this God in your mind right here that you think this is how God is. And you know what the first thing is? You know what people believe? They want to believe this with all their heart, and it's true with all. It's true, but it's not complete. God is love. God is love. God loves me so much, He'll overlook my sin. God loves me so much, He'll never cast me into hell. God loves me so much, He'll never chasten me on this earth. That's wrong. And where does that thinking come from? It didn't come from God. It came from Satan. He's whispering that lie. He's whispering in there. And so we get to, you know, everything starts to get flawed when we don't have a perfect knowledge about God. They begin to think that God will tolerate evil. We see that in the world today. People living like it too. And if we believe, listen, if we believe only in God's goodness, then we're going to fail to believe in His severity. I mean, man, listen, you don't, you know, nowadays it's not popular, but I mean, I haven't preached a good old on hell message in a long time. You know, nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear about love and God accepts you as you are, and you know, which he does, but he doesn't leave you as you are. But you know, it everything, see, that's even flawed. You know, we come as you are. Yeah, come as you are, but don't stay as you are, for crying out loud. He didn't say come down here and when you get up off the altar, you go back carrying all your sins out of here with you. He never said that, but they don't tell you that part of it. The lie is God is love, and God, come as you are, just as I am. And boy, you know, acceptance and everything's good and don't worry about it. You're saved. Keep on sinning. Everything's all right. I mean, that's the message that we see today. So, you know, Satan, he just tells half-truths. Part of it's true. But it's another motive, and there's a lie in there. It's a lie. Listen, you go in the Bible, man, God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. He burned that thing down to a turn because of their immorality, godlessness, wickedness. It was sexual immorality, if you want to spell it out for you right there. If you go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the word of God. Satan didn't tell him about that one. He didn't get that verse out there. He didn't spit that out when he was telling them about, don't worry about, go ahead and do what God doesn't want you to do, basically what he was telling them to do. And so, listen, don't doubt God's severity. God's severity. This third thing, and I don't have a whole lot on this point. He slandered God's motive. He slandered God's motive. What he really kind of was implying, that God was selfish. That God knew about what the tree of knowledge and good and evil, he knew all about it. I mean, he knew good and evil. Just think about it. They didn't know even what evil was. They didn't know what sin was. Man, they messed up bad. Because now we know. We don't want to know. They didn't know about pain and suffering and death and sickness and all these. They didn't have a prayer list. They would have never had a prayer list that had to deal with anything physical anyway. And probably not spiritual either. And so But what Satan did, he challenged the motive, that he implied that God was selfish and didn't want them to enjoy things and be like he was, which was a lie. They weren't going to be like gods. That wasn't going to make them gods. But he told them that. And so that's where the thinking got. And as I said earlier, that's where a lot of people, anytime we do something that we know God doesn't want us to do, we think it's going to be fun and good, or we wouldn't do it to start with. We never would do it. And this is the point where man rebels against God. This is the very point. When he feels like God is holding something back from him or keeping something from him that's going to be good, fun, whatever you want to put in there, fill in the blank. When man starts to think that, then he takes matters into his own hands. That's where the rebellion starts, right there, the point that we rebel. And last little thing here in closing, when we see the results of listening to the voice of Satan, we have rebellion, open rebellion, and it even leads to the denial of God himself. I shared this with you before. In my early years of my life, I was a teenager. I was probably 17. Before I ever met one single person that said they didn't believe in God. I've met more since then as time goes on. I've met people that said that they don't believe in God. Last week, the message was, what in the world is going on? Well, and I said, this is it. You know what we see. Listen, don't set yourself outside the attacks of Satan as though he is not or cannot speak to you. Satan, he can't get your soul if you're saved. He can't get in your heart if you're saved. But he can speak to your mind. Huh? And he can get you, he can lead you. He's slick. Listen, man, I'm telling you, even the psychologist, I said about the psychologists of they haven't figured out everything the way Satan can work. He's got a lot of methods. And listen, who does he want to get more than anybody, right? He already got the world. He don't have to get that crowd in Portland, Seattle. He's got them. They're already putting his sign up. He's got to go after God's people. He's busy worrying about God's people. And this world that we see, more and more, how can this law be passed? How can we do this? How come this is going on? How can people's thinking get like it is that we see in the world today? Because they're accepting the wisdom of Satan and they're listening to the voice of Satan. And unfortunately, he's pulling the church. He's pulling people in the church into listening to his voice. We need to listen to the voice of God. He said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." That's the voice we need to listen to. Amen. Let's all stand with their heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that for your word today. And Lord, I pray you just use it to help us, Lord, to understand our enemy a little better, Lord, and to just seek you, God. Seek your face, your voice, and help us to pull away, Lord, from anything Satan may be leading us into, towards. And help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you in this world, Lord. I know we talk about the world and, Lord, how wicked it's getting, Lord, but they still need to be saved, Lord. And we're the instrument that you've chosen to speak your word and speak to people, Lord. Help us to be faithful in our witness. There's somebody out there today listening to Satan's voice, Lord. Help us to intervene. Lord, give them your words. And so we'll put that into your hands this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you need to